going to read through 1 Corinthians chapter 13 today. It's not going to show up on the screen. But as I was speaking and encouraging the churches over there, the more I was going through it, I thought, we need to bring this home. And we need to do this here. For some of you, this passage is really familiar. You could have never gone to church in your life, but if you've ever been to a wedding, you've probably heard this. In the very end of the last sentence of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says this, and Paul is writing to this church in Corinth that is actually a really screwed up church. In case you think, is there hope for me? Is there hope for, could God use me? Look at the Corinthian church. There's hope for you. These guys were messed up in so many ways. You had a guy sleeping with his mother-in-law and thinking it was okay. This was good. There's hope for you. Okay? There's hope for you. And Paul's writing to this church who are in some ways really messed up, but in other ways, specifically in being open to what the Spirit of God would want to do among them, they're very open. And Paul says, you guys are extremely gifted. You're an amazingly gifted church. Now, you're really messed up. Your priorities are really screwed up, but you're gifted. And so he's writing to them saying, I want to show you a more excellent way. And we get into chapter 13. I'm just going to read through it. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Drum kits are great. Cymbals are great. Cymbals, apart from the rest of the drum kit, are obnoxious. Nobody wants the cymbal player from the marching band without the rest of the band. It's just... And Paul says, if you speak in the tongues of men and of angels, you have supernatural language, but you don't have love underneath of it. You're like that cymbal player without the band. He says, if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries, everybody say all. Is there anything lacking in that? All. You could understand all mysteries and all knowledge. You could have all faith. There's a lot of all in here. All faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, again, there it is again, all. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Nothing. And then he starts to tell us about what love is like. If this is so important, it's helpful to know what's love? And he begins to describe love. This isn't like a specific definition, the all-inclusive definition of love, but it's a description of love. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. Some translations say love never fails. As for prophecies, they will pass away. And we're a church that highly values being a prophetic people. But that will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. I'll just tell you right now, when it's talking about the perfect coming, this is talking about Jesus. He is the perfect one. When he comes again in full glory and power, and we go, whoa, and his kingdom is fully released on the earth, then these other things pass away. Now, we're not there yet. Therefore, we need all of these things. But Paul's putting all of our spiritual gifts in context. point is going to be Jesus, not our gifts. When the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. And then at the end of this, he lays the foundation one more time. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Now I'm going to read the first sentence in 14 just to remind you. We're not saying let's throw out spiritual gifts and just love each other. Because the next thing he says is pursue love and earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Okay. Matt got up here and said, we're a church, we love people. We love God, we love people. We want to be known. If there's nothing else we're known for in Spokane, let it be that we love each other, that people go, man, these guys really love Jesus. And they really love each other. And they really love Spokane. If there's nothing else we're known for, let it be that. We could go, man, I wish we were more prophetic as a church. Oh, I wish we had more faith as a church. Man, I wish we saw more people being healed as a church. And sick people could flood in here and just, man, the power of God is so strong in that place. People are healed. Those things are great and they're good. And I would say, oh, God, bring it on, all of it. But if there's one thing we're going to be known for, that will be more contagious than about all the rest of it, is that the love of God is present in this place. That people know when they come here, they're loved. Faith and hope, these things, they remain. Along with love. But the greatest of them all is love. The bedrock underneath everything else we could do as a church must be love. Loving each other, loving God, loving the nations. So quick reminder, our gifts without love. You could come in as the most gifted among us. You could totally just embarrass me with how amazing you can communicate. Or we could have some worship leader come rolling in the door and we just go, oh, wow! So much better than John. You know? Yeah, it's okay. It's all right. It's okay. So maybe you saw it. I posted on Facebook last night because I listened to the two messages that Randy preached while I was gone. And I thought, man, I'm so glad that I could be gone. And that the content of what was preached, the way that Randy was loving you guys, in the way he communicated, it was so encouraging to me. Like, wow, we actually have a team here that's functioning as a team. But you could be the most, and I'm not saying this about you, Randy, don't hear what I'm not saying. You could come in as a completely gifted communicator, but if you don't have love, it's empty. It's just spouting knowledge. And it could be really good, really deep knowledge. But what was most impressive to me, even though Randy's content was good, his research was good, it was like, dude, that was good preaching. I should preach so well. But what was so evident was the way he was loving the church. If we have that, we have a lot. Because great preaching might hold some people for a Sunday. We could draw crowds in with great preaching, but we can't keep crowds with great preaching. Relationships aren't built on great preaching. They're built on loving relationships. So we could have all these gifts, and be nothing more than the cymbal player without the band. And Paul says, if you don't have love, you are nothing. If you don't have love, you gain nothing. I would say love is worth pursuing. And if that's an area, like you're a sociopath, you've been hanging out for a while and you're a total sociopathic person and you just like, I can't relate to people. I don't love people. I'm just like, I would say pursue this. Pursue this. Let's ask Jesus, oh God, make us loving. We don't want to be the nothing church. Be the loving church. Okay, so he goes on. He doesn't leave it with you're nothing, you gain nothing. He's just reminding us, along with the Corinthians, that apart from love, we gain nothing from our gifts. Now, guys, God is love. And Jesus himself, through his Spirit, has come to live in you. That means perfect love is residing inside of you. If you're a Christian, if you're a believer, the perfect love of God is in you. You can love the church. You can do it. You can love even that guy. Or girl, fill in the blank there. You know it. The faces come to your mind immediately, right? What? Even? Yes, you actually can, because the perfect love of God is in you. You can do this. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to preach every verse like this, but I want to hit this. Love is patient and kind. If we as a family want to grow in a healthy way, if we want people to walk in the door for the first time and say, ah, I'm home, we'll do really well to focus on this. Love is patient and kind. And this is for every person in the church. Every one of us. That includes me. Love is patient and kind. Now, the context of this, Paul's talking about this really gifted church. And so somebody comes in the door. Maybe it's their first Sunday. And they go, I kind of hear people participating and somebody's praying out, somebody's sharing a scripture. You know, this guy's like saying, I feel like God is saying this. And whoa. And I kind of forgot to do it today, but normally I would invite people, say, guys, we welcome that. We want that. We want that that participation when we come together. It's not meant to be a show from the front. It's meant to be us gathering together, meeting with God, and our gifts being used to encourage each other. I liked it in England when we were there because the three different churches we were at, they tried to adjust the chairs. One of them was this old Church of England, like really cool old building with columns, and they tore out all the pews when they got this church. They tore them out, replaced them with padded chairs, and then put them in kind of a semicircle so where everyone was kind of facing each other. And so we don't want it to be everyone just facing the band. Now, we rent this facility. We can't just tear out everything. But what they did is that we do that because we want everyone to get the idea that this is us together worshiping, not just the guys in the front leading it. So if someone comes in for the first time and we say, participate. You're welcome. Participate. Is someone who's a really new Christian going to come in and just act like they're totally mature? Well, maybe you can act. You might be able to fake it for a little bit. Okay? The more quiet you stay, the more you can fake it. Right? We need to have patience for one another if we really want to cultivate spiritual gifts. People being able to confidently say, man, I was reading this passage earlier this week and it really encouraged me and I really want to share that with the church. Well, have they gone through preaching classes and communication classes? Probably not. We don't want to have this bar so high that you have to already be like super Christian to participate in a meeting. It's going to require patience. And guys, it's going to require patience of you toward me, or you toward Randy, or you toward Donald, those of us who have been leading around here. You have to have some patience for us, because sometimes we're going to be figuring it out too. But imagine a family where we're all making room for each other and not expecting perfection. Where if you're thinking, I feel like maybe I'm really hearing something from God, but I'm not sure, and I don't want to be wrong, and I don't want to mess it up and be imperfect. Guys, guess what? I'm setting us all up to not have to be perfect. You can take a risk and even be a little bit off, and we're not going to like excommunicate you from the church because you were slightly off. I think we just read in here, we all know in part, prophesy in part. Guess what? That means none of us have the full angle on this. None of us have this absolute perfection in the way that we use our spiritual gifts. We're all growing and learning how to be the people of God. We're learning. So if this is your first time with us, welcome to a bunch of learners. Now, you do have some leaders too, but your leaders are also learners. We're just like the chief learners. Okay, so have patience with us as leaders, and we'll have patience with one another. It's an atmosphere of love. This is what an atmosphere of love looks like. Patient for one another. He goes on and says, love does not envy or boast. All I want to say about that is this. You don't have to think, oh, that guy is so gifted, or that girl is so gifted. I could never be like that. And you just envy the gift of someone else. Love isn't envious. Like, man, they get all the attention. That worship leader guy gets all the attention because it's a vocal, very public, loud gift. And we can be envying or boasting. My gift is pretty awesome. I got this. That's not loving. And again, it just like squashes gifting all around. And what God is actually wanting to stir up and build up in you. Like, do you think of yourself? Well, I'll just pause for a minute. Do you think of yourself as a gifted part of the church? Do you think of yourself as like, God has put something in me that the church needs? You might not think of yourself that way, but it's true. Every one of us has something to offer. And what kills that is when we are just comparing our gifts with one another. You know, this guy's been maturing and developing and growing for years, and this guy's brand new, and all of a sudden, like, God's ministering through this dude. And we start comparing. Don't do that. Just be who God has created you to be. This is the atmosphere of love. Not being arrogant, not being rude, not insisting on its own way. This is my gift and this is how I'm going to use it. Darn it. If it's not going to be my way, then I'm taking my toys and going home. Let's not do that. That's not loving. Not insisting on its own way. Not being irritable or resentful. Gosh. Okay, if you look through this list, I guarantee you guys, we've all blown this. Envying, boasting, times when I'm not patient or kind, never ever am I insisting on my own way, I'm never irritable, I'm never resentful, lying through my teeth right now. We've all blown this. This is why we need Jesus. We want to be a people. We're going, Jesus, we need you. If we're going to be a loving church and a loving environment for people to come into, not, we need Jesus. The good news is, we've got him. He's promised he's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. Even if you have a resentful day, an irritable day, he's not going to bail on you. I'm skipping ahead here. Love never fails. Love never ends. And this does point to Jesus. Guys, the love of God for you never fails. You know that song we sing? Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love will fail at times. My love will fail at times. Jesus' love for his church, for his people, never fails. He will never fail you. He will never, and I don't mean he will do everything you want him to do. That is not true. He's God, not us. But he will never quit on you. Never. And the more we focus on him and say, we want to be a church that represents Jesus here, the more that never failing love of God will begin to be displayed through us. And you'll be amazed, guys, at times where people wound you or hurt you, and yet there's something in you that doesn't just walk out. It's because Jesus is amazing and he's in you. He's amazing and he's in us. Now, we already said this. I'm going to wrap it here pretty quickly. Prophecies, they're going to pass away. Tongues, gift of supernatural language, value it, love it. It will cease. Words of knowledge, so helpful. While we were in England, we had there was multiple times we were worshiping, and there was a weird one. This person comes up, and I was like, "Oh, this is uncomfortable," because this person comes up and goes, "I feel like there's someone here, and your toenails are like yellow, and kind of like not healthy and gross," and I was like, "Ugh." Oh, this is gross and awkward. But they said, they knew it too. They were like, they're sort of weird. And they just said, I feel like God wants to heal you. You know what? There were people at the end of that meeting that responded and came up. That was bold right there too, right? There were people who responded and God met them there, and people are ministered to. That was one of the more goofy words of knowledge I've heard, and yet it was legit. But there's coming a day where even that will pass away. Sorry if I grossed you guys out. That was these things will pass away. I'm gonna read it. When the perfect comes, the partial passes away. Guys, all of our best gifts and the way that we love each other through our gifts, it all pales and dims in comparison to Jesus himself. Who are we going to focus on as a church? What are we going to focus on? While we value and earnestly desire spiritual gifts, Paul tells us to do that, earnestly desire them, our focus is going to be Jesus, the one who shines brighter than them all.